أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Usman ibn Maz'un radiyallahu says that I had seen the response of my people to the da'wat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it accepted. So out of consideration and respect for my people, I had accepted Islam. But Islam had not settled in my heart. One day I was seated in the Mubarak presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had seen the signs of wahi. On a cold winter's morning, you would see beads of perspiration like pearls rolling down the Mubarak cheek of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I made out this was wahi coming, and when this cleared, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse that I had just recited. He says, with the recitation of this one verse, all the doubts were expelled, and Islam had deeply entered, rooted my heart. Such a comprehensive verse. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, when he became the Khalifa from the Banu Umayyah family, and he had noticed that some of the people before him, some of the rulers before him, were speaking out against certain Sahaba. So he put a stop to this, but he replaced it with this verse, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. And just for a moment, think about the sincerity with which he had replaced it, that up to this day, nearly every Jummah, every khutbah, we listen to this verse. Including the Eid namaz and the Bakra Eid namaz, this verse is repeated. So what sincerity he must have been reciting this and introduced this, that to this day this verse is recited. So what Allah has commanded here is justice. And justice is that everything is put in its proper place. Person is given his due right, things are placed properly, correctly in their places. But there is another meaning to this word adl, and that meaning is i'tidal, what we refer to moderation. But then if we leave the word loosely, randomly, and obviously it will be a thing of speculation. People will give their own explanations, random explanations. They will not really see what is the meaning of moderation. Islam speaks about moderation. Don't overdo things. Some people had come in and they had inquired about the Mubarak style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as they were leaving, they said, "Me, akumu Fala anam, I will never sleep. Stand up the entire night in tahajjud." Other person says, "Asumu wala uftir, I will fast, I will never break my fast." The third person said, "Wala atazawwaju, I'll never marry." So Nabi Sallam heard about this, and Nabi Sallam was upset. Anamu wa aqumu wa uftiru wa asum wa atazawwaju nisa. فَمَنْ رَغِيبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. I do the both. I sleep and I stand up in tahajjud. I fast and at times I don't fast. And I do make nikah as well. But whoever moves away, turns away from my sunnah, really he's not of me. So this meaning of moderation obviously will have to be sought and searched from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself directly. Otherwise each person will give his own explanation through moderation. Some 2 weeks back, one brother, not known, so he comes to me and he says that he had a marital problem, so they had gone to one social worker. So it was a family friend, so they were a little bit open. The woman is sitting there, the husband is sitting, and the social worker is advising them. So there is no commitment to parda. Everything is very casual. They are respecting the social worker that he will do a good job. In the meanwhile, in the words of the husband, this person was a real, genuine scam. He knew how to work it out. So it's very well planned. When I seen and traced his whole history, I found that this person was a real, real, genuine scam. So he just asked for some water. When he asked for water, obviously a woman wants to do some service. That's the nature of woman. What can I be? Or what can I do? So she went to fetch the water. She brought the water and she gave it to him in his hand, so the fingers are touched. So he says, Mulana, you know what? Just over a glass of water and my whole nikah broke. I had to divorce her. This person became intimate with my wife. Everything was lost. But now, forget the incident, but see what was the cause. The cause was, these people felt that they were practicing moderate Islam, not engaging in very serious parda, no niqab, talking casually, letting the fingers to touch, but not realizing that one thing leads to the other. And then when the help breaks loose, nobody can restrain. Nobody has got that heart to restrain and suppress his emotions. Then everything breaks. Then you don't know where to hide your shame, where to bury yourself, your face. You don't know what to do. But where it starts off from this small, and we'll keep appeasing ourselves. Isme kya rakha hua hai? Ye kya hai? I hoonch hai, kahi nahi bale. Small thing. Not a serious thing now. So we appease our minds in this manner. And then one thing leads to the other. And when you in that abyss of destruction, then you want to unreel yourself. And it's too late at times. You don't get a chance. So that is why repeatedly the Quran Sharif will say you, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُهَا. These are limits of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala designed these limits. Don't ever come close to them. Just keep a distance. Inshallah, you'll be safe. And you'll enjoy life. It's not that the person that is living within parameters, maintaining limits, his enjoyment of life will decrease. He will enjoy life. Not that he will not enjoy. Just for the beginning, he goes through a little bit of a hard patch. And once he's used to it, then he doesn't want to give up that life. He's so bent, he's so committed to that life. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for some pebbles on the plains of Mina to pelt. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, his dear cousin, passed on some pebbles. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was very pleased. كَذَلِكَ فَفْحَلُوا. Do just like this. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوا. And don't go to these extremes. This side or that side. هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِالْغُلُوِ فِي دِينِ. People in the past, they destroyed because of this extremism. Going on one side, going on one extreme or the other extreme. But then this moderation, what is this moderation all about? That's important. That, obviously, you'll have to look into the life of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the great pious people. But what did they mean by moderation? Everybody gives his 2 pence. That's unfortunate in this day, that everybody wants to give something. No, this is my rai. This is my suggestion. This is what I feel about it. Hey, who are you? Non-entity. Comparison to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, great ulama-i-Kiram. You look at Bukhari Sharif also. Now Bukhari Sahib will quote a hadith. Then you say, Qala Ibrahim an-Nakhai kada, wal Hasan kada, Sufyan kada. He'll quote the hadith and then he will then quote the statements of great tabi'in. As though he says, I don't have the right to interpret myself. These are my elders. I need to respect them and I will give you the quotations in the light of the quotations. You can understand what is right, what is wrong, and what is the middle path. So great, great luminaries, Imam Bukhari, what was he short of? But what was the need for him to quote from these people, not to give it himself? There must have been some reason. So sometimes what happens is we got the substance, but the substance has come in without the flavor. And until you don't have the flavor, that commodity doesn't fetch a value. So you learned, for example, the ingredients that are contained in Coke. But you don't know how to get that flavor. I ask you, will it sell? You don't know how to do it. You know about brine meat, right? But you don't know how to marinate. Now, will that brine, will the market take to it? It won't take to it. So this taste, this flavor that is acquired and passed on to us from the Sahaba-i-Kiram, that flavor is supposed to be passed on, supposed to be taken on. And this generally happens with the level of association with your elders. It's cut and dry. I'm saying it as it were. But it doesn't happen otherwise. If someone says, no, I'll just look around Kitab, I will get these colors, I will get these values, then he's mistaken. He may get one thing, he may miss out 10 things. So now to get exactly those colors, then some type of commitment is required with your elder. So that color passes on. You want to dye a cloth, it doesn't just happen overnight. Soak it and soak it and soak it. After some times, you will find that color passes on. But immediately, if you want the color to pass on, it doesn't happen. Sibghat Allah, wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibgha. That is why you will notice that the Sahaba-i-Kiram that were closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then their statements are the weightiest. If Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu has to say something, then his statement is taken very seriously. As comparison to someone who hadn't had that level of association. Someone had an association maybe 10 days, 20 days, and he had gone out of Madinah Munawwara, for example, while Ibn Hujr radiallahu anhu. And then you weight his statements against the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, who's from the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, Muhajireen, Mutaqaddimeen, is right from the beginning and right till the end. So now his statement is different and his statement is different. But they had seen Nabi Sam from the beginning. They had seen all the phases of life and they had really got that flavor complete, full. So now we are talking of this moderation and we need to understand what is this moderation all about. But this moderation will be understood if we carefully examine the lives of these pious, these elders. You see their lives, understand them, and you get a little bit of an understanding. You know, around the holiday period, you get a whole line of students coming in. Mulana, my family is going out for Umrah, and can I join up with them? That's a common thakar, you know. Going to Makkah, going to Medina, impressing upon me, you know, you'll have to allow us. Why? See the lands we are going. We are going to Makkah and Medina. So my common explanation to them is, say for example, it's a study period, it's a class now, right? You're taking sabak, right? Whether it's Quran Sharif, Dor, or sabak, or any kitab that you are doing. Right? One side the kitab is carrying on, and one side there is a taqaza to read Durood Sharif. You know, that chacha read so many Durood Sharif, so he saw Nabi Sassam in his dream. And there's a taqaza, great taqaza to perform namaz, nafil namaz at that time. So what will your ustad say? That nafil namaz is the most comprehensive, namaz is about the most comprehensive ibadat. When it's the most comprehensive ibadat, but will your ustad allow you to do and engage in nafil namaz and leave out your studies? You know why? Ustad was saying this is shaitanic. Exactly the same, this is shaitanic. What is the need of the time? What Islam wants from you at that moment in time, that is the most virtuous. But if you want to apply your mind, you'll tell, oh, I go three haram, do this thing here, do this thing here. Mine is... So Islam, as the Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah should say, Deen shok pura karne ka naam nahi hai. Deen is not fulfilling one's aspirations. I got a desire, my aspirations. I fulfill that. That is not Deen. Deen is to do what Allah Ta'ala wants, His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants, at that moment. Look at the great Tabi'i, Uwais Qarni Rahmatullah Alayhi, right? And he writes up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I wish to come into your august presence. Mother is ill, take care of her. Now who doesn't want to come to Medina? Who doesn't want to come to make ziyarat and get the privilege and the honor of becoming a sahabi? You can't imagine a position higher than the position of a sahabi. Then if he's in Medina, then for him to make umrah, how easy it will be. But then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, you go and look after your mother. And throughout his life, then he remained looking after his mother. But on account of him listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, taking care of his mother, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu, etc., that Ya'atikum Uwais, this person will come to you. You must request him for du'as. See that? Uwais will come to you, and then you need to ask him for du'as. Now, you see the moderation. On one side, our hearts, our emotions are having the better of us. Go for Umrah, let's go for it. On the other end, alright, Rasulullah is around, then what is the right thing? We must refer to him, ask him. One is applying our own minds. Our minds tell us what to do. We have got a little bit of understanding. Perhaps we studied one kitab, second kitab, third kitab, and we feel now we have got it all. When you have got it all now, I can use my mind. Allah gave me brains also. I can use my mind. So, now what was the take of the Sahaba Kiram? They knew it, but then they said, no, it's not enough. Let's refer. Let's find out. Alright, under the circumstance, what are we supposed to be doing? Muhammad ibn Munkadir is a ustad of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi. So you can imagine, well imagine what his maqam is when he is the ustad of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi. So he says that many a days I spend the night taking care of my mother, pressing her feet, looking at her comfort, whilst my elder brother, he spends the entire night in tahajjud. And I will never, for whatever it costs, I will never swap my night with the night of my mother, of my brother. He is doing tahajjud, standing before Allah Ta'ala, tahajjud, prime time, you know. In prime time, and he's standing before the most prime, greatest. But I, whatever it costs, I will not swap my night with my brother's night. So there must have been something, some understanding that they had of deen. They knew what to do at which time, what is the prime thing, what is supposed to be done, what is supposed to be left out, right? But the great thing in their lives, it was this association with the elders. I was looking for the hadith, Al-Barkatu ma'akabirikum. So one alim had written one kitab, and he quoted that hadith, Al-Barkatu ma'akabirikum. That barkat is with your elders. You want that barkat, you want that good, but there are some elders, righteous, pious, committed to deen, but you just follow them. You'll get a lot of understanding. One person had spent his 4 months around the 1960s. So as he's left, he's completed his 4 months, they come for that last hidayat bayan, etc. And so the markaz in those days was quite small. I remember when I went around the 70s, markaz was quite small. So as you're going out, you have to pass one of Umar Palanpuri sahab rahmatullahi's room. So Mora knew the person, so he called him. Or the person went into his room, one of the two happened. So Mora asked him, all right now, how was your time? He said, no, excellent. A whole transformation to my life. No namaz now, namaz came in. I was not careful about parda and my eyes now, I became very conscious about that. I was not conscious about haram and halal in my business. We have a dairy, we have a couple of partners, but I was not conscious about this thing here. So now I've become conscious about these things. So Mora asked him, all right, now that you're going home, what are you going to do? He said, First thing I will do is I'll go and announce in my home that they need to perform namaz. What I'm seeing now, in the josh, in the emotion that this person is talking, he's going to do something irrational. So he asked him, all right, and if your wife is not agreeing, she's not conforming, then what? He said, talaq, talaq, talaq. Three, I'll shoot all three. It's Allah Ta'ala or it is you, one of the two. He's understanding the person, he can't just give him the dosage immediately. So all right, and then you're talking about the dairy and you're doing something's wrong in the dairy as well, adding water to the milk and all that. So what are you going to do about this? So I'll go up to the dairy, I'll tell the company, you know, you rather do it straight, otherwise I'm going to break away from this partnership. All right. So Mullah let him give off all the steam. After he's given up all the steam, now you ask him, all right, you know what? I want to know from you, before you could come for 4 months, did you know that namaz was faraz? Yes. Did you know that this practice was haram? Yes. Deceiving and cheating is not a Muslim's way. So I knew it was haram. But then, why didn't you perform your namaz then? And why didn't you leave out this haram and deception? So, well, us waqt to tawfiq aaya hi nahi tha. I didn't have the grace to leave those haram. I didn't have the grace to perform my namaz. I said, now sit down. Ab sambhal jao. Now relax. He says, you see, you have got so many opportunities. A jamaat will come and talk to you at home, right? You have a pre-Juma talk every week, right? Then sometimes you have an adult class or something. Right? Number four, it's a big night or some occasion, then you have a talk in that as well. In those days, there weren't these transmitters and all that. So now, compared to yourself, what opportunities does your wife have to listen to some bayan, to understand something? Does she have any opportunity? No. So, with all the opportunities at your disposal, it took you so many years, 40 years, over 40 years, phir baat samajh mein aayi. After 40 years, this thing came into your mind. Now, is that fair that you don't give her a chance also, alright? You had a chance to listen to this, to attend that bayan, to attend that program, get to an istima. So many opportunities you had. Does she have any opportunity? No. You know, sometimes I speak to the students and I say, alhamdulillah, you're getting good marks. I'm pleased, but I'm not fully pleased. Okay, why are you doing so well? You don't see any misbehavior in us. You're referring to kitabs and all that. I say, see, that's half the job. Half the job is you have a duty towards your brothers, your siblings, and your parents. Whatever you have learned now, you must go and share it with your parents, share it with your brothers, siblings. But talk to them at their level, not at your level. You became a very big buzurung now, and overnight you want to capsize the home. Not going to happen. They'll capsize you perhaps. You will not be able to capsize them. But the idea is that as you're learning, you're passing. You're learning, this is what the Ustad said, come gradually, come gracefully, come. There is no despondency. There's no reason for you to become despaired. But it doesn't mean that you must become totally complacent and make no effort. So one extreme is complacency. The other extreme is becoming totally despondent. But now the middle part. So you learn something, you're passing it in the home. As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, my father was a businessman, right? Very big businessman. So he used to take collaterals. Sometimes it's a whole building that he takes as a collateral. Now I went to Deoband to study, and I understood the business of my father, that he used to take a collateral as a business, as a building or something, and the rental that comes from it, he used to enjoy the rental. It's a building now, I took the building as a collateral, right? And then, I'm enjoying the rental that is coming out of it. So I wrote up to my father, I said, this is riba, because kullu qardin jarra nafan. It's a debt that is accruing some type of benefit. So it's my father, he saw this now, he said, small nipper now is coming to explain this to me. Anyway, people in that zamana, they were good hearted. So he says, I went to my one Banya Hindu friend, father went, and says, I sent my child to Deoband to study and see what he's telling me now. He's telling what to do. So that banna banya Hindu friends said, bhai, shukar karo. Appreciate this. If you had sent your child to a medical college, your child would have tutored you and corrected you if you were doing wrong. Something that's wrong, not good for your health, will have corrected you. If you have sent him to law, he will show you how to save yourself. You have sent him to become an accountant, he will show you all right, how to save your taxes, etc. He will show you all these things here. Now, you sent him to Dioban to become an alim, he is saving you as you believe, right? You have to say it clearly, as you believe that there is a life after death. So he is saving you from the Jahannam. He's saving you from the fire. So be thankful to Allah Ta'ala that this child is appreciative. From the time that he's learning, now he's also sharing the information with us. Now, this is very important. Sometimes the child is pious. But now he needs a surrounding that is cooperating, that is complimenting. But there's no complimenting environment and surrounding. So that piety of his, it will weaken slowly, slowly, gradually, everything will fail away. If he walks into a home and one person is watching a television, someone is doing music, someone is dancing around there, someone else is doing something else, so one day he'll make sabr, second day he'll make sabr, third day he'll become a participant. But on the contrary, if he comes to the home, he's working on the house, in the house, slowly, slowly, he's passing on. This is what we learn, it's a story. We heard this from our Ustad. So he's passing on from the first day. Now that whole demographics of that house changes. Okay, now someone is making, you go, now sister is making dua. Mother is crying to Allah Ta'ala. Father is performing tahajjud namaz. Brother is reading one kitab. Now, if all that is happening in the house, for you to be isolated and watching television, it'll be very difficult. It'll be how difficult? Like, you know, you go to the Haram Sharif, and namaz time, you're not going to the Haram. How will you feel? Ramadan time, everybody is fasting and you're not fasting. How will you feel? You'll feel like the odd person out. So if you have worked on the house has got an environment. When the house has got an environment, then you will want to blend into that environment. This is so important. This talim in the home is so, so important. We take it as casual. But now, the amount of correspondence, complaints that I receive, now it's come to my mind that this is to the level of faras. It's no more an optional thing. About 3 weeks ago, you know, around February, March, April, you'll get this matriculants coming in. What must do? And this is the university, whatever, to come and ask for advice. So, as he is discussing with me, so he says, you know, I was in this so-and-so Islamic school. So, all right, it's news for me that you were there. So he says, no, but you know what, there's something new that we learn. So what is it? So L.O. So I said, what is this? So he told me what it is. What? Life orientation, yeah. So I said, what is life orientation? You know, we were in school, we didn't learn all these things here. 60 years, we didn't learn all these things. So what is it? No, he says, oh, they talk to you about AIDS, talk to you a lot of things, you know, safe sex and all that. So I said, all right. I said, but in an Islamic school? I said, yeah. I said, well, just forget all that. But you know what parting advice he gave us? He's explaining to me, the teacher, what parting advice she gave to the students, all Muslim students. The parting advice she gave to them was, my dear children, you'll be leaving now soon, right? So my parting advice to you is practice safe. Such an innocent word. You know how innocently she put it across. So I asked him, all right, what was the take of the students? There are so many students in class. What was their take? He said, 90% of the students agreed with her. Uska iman ka kya ho gaya? I asked you, what happened to the iman? That haram, they're supporting it. Practice says everyone knows what it means. Just it's a little bit of a glorified, polished word. But everybody knows what it is, right? But now this is passed on to a child that was in an Islamic school for so many years, coming to matric. And at that level, the child doesn't even object. You see, practice safe. You say, yeah, no, mashallah, very good. Like someone passed you wine, mashallah, jazakallah. What's that now? If you're iman, you have risked your iman. Definitely. So there must be something to protect this iman. The only thing I can understand is two things that come to my mind. Is there must be some type of talim in the house. So the right type of colors, the right values are passed on. You're doing it religiously. You're doing it diligently, right? And I normally recommend three kitabs. One is Best Is Ever, because you must know halal and haram, right? English, everything is available. One of Muhammadi's kitab, right? The second is the Fazail kitabs. Because the Fazail kitab really is not just an ordinary kitab. It is hadith kitab, but brought to our level of understanding. It's brought to our level of understanding. I explained this to one Mulana. He came after about 3 months and he tells me, you asked us to do this kitab reading. I'm doing it every day. But last week what happened? Says my daughter's 10, 11 years of age. She comes to me and she says, Abba, I want to explain to you one dream. What was it? So I saw that Nabi Sallam was wanting to come into our house. So I ushered him to the house and I seated him in the lounge. And I sat beside him, and Abba, you sat in front of us. And I asked for dua, and Nabi Sallam made dua. I said, this is the result of talim. Because the talim, you look at that from the beginning till the end, it's all hadith. And to elucidate some stories, some waqiyat, something is given just to explain and just to bring it to our level. So if you are doing that as though you got Nabi Sallam in the house, his teaching, what does it mean? As though you've got Nabi Sallam in the house. Just that we don't see it from this perspective. Look at this tahqiq, look at that tahqiq. But after all, everything is said and done, what that tahqiq wants to bring about some taqwa, consciousness, awareness, get you into some amal. If it is just tahqiq and no application, no amal, etc., I ask you, is the faida, is the benefit complete? So the importance. I said one is this, that there must be some talim in the house. And the second thing that is required, looking at what's going on, the amount of youngsters whose beliefs are on the rocks, right? Their beliefs are shaken up. Simple things they come and ask. And though they've been tutored in Islamic schools, but then the type of questions they ask shows that really they don't have the understanding. In jahalat, in ignorance, they are doing and they're saying what they are saying. So the second thing that is definitely required, I feel now is like a faraz, that at least twice in the week or thrice in the week, have a little bit of an open discussion with the children, all right, by what you learned for the day or for the week, what was the teacher discussing, and what are your schoolmates discussing. So if it's something off the course, you have got a forum to correct them, bring them to the right belief. Now he's learning about evolution for 10 years. He's writing an examination paper on evolution, right? And that thing is seated deep into his heart. He says, Iman ka kya ho gaya? What happened to his heart? Iman. Gone. Right? And nobody was there to correct him. The father said, no, mashallah, you got this marks. So the father is more interested about the marks than this child's iman. Then after that you see an explosion after that. Then you're worried, hey, ye kahan se aaya? What happened? This Darwinism and all that, don't take it lightly. There's so many cases that come up. 3 weeks ago, one person says, my father is this specialist, mother is like this, all type titles they've got, right? But then the grandchild, he is adamant that I am an atheist. I don't believe in this thing. He's a pure atheist, came for a day, and in the day that he came, he managed to brainwash the minds of the innocent children that were around. Now the children that are sitting there, their minds are wavering like this. Yes, sahi hai, ghalat hai. Khuda hai, khuda nahi hai. Khuda hai, khuda nahi. Is there a God or is there no God? Is there a God? In one day, he managed to brainwash. So this type of an open forum where the father or the head of the house is talking to the children, right? What's happening? What's been thinking? What have you all been discussing? So if it's wrong, you've got a forum to correct him. If it's right, you are supporting him and complimenting him. So at least, maybe if you are 40 or 50 years of age, 50 years of experience you are passing on to your child in 15 minutes. What a great blessing. So these two things I have seen now. One is the Best Is Ever. Number two is the Fazail Kitab. And number three is a Seerat Kitab. Because every Muslim must know about his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If someone were to tell you, you know your great-great-grandfather, 1810, and this was his jubba he used to wear, and he's kept in a museum in Johannesburg, what you'll do? You'll fly over to go and see it. It's got a sentimental value, hasn't it? My grandfather used to wear this one here, used to wear this topi here, the Jina hat or the red hat used to wear. I want to go and see the thing. Will it have a sentimental value or not? So I ask you then, don't we have a sentimental attachment with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This seerah is so important that I feel person that is going with his family for Umrah, etc., he must take a seerah kitab. Now, you want to know exactly what happened at Uhud. You want to open the page. At your level, you understand it. Bring it to the understanding of your small, little, growing up children, 10 years, 9 years. Explain to them, this was Uhud, this was Hamza radiallahu anhu, and this is what happened here, and what he did here, and what happened on this occasion, and this archerous view at this point. Now they're seeing the whole picture they got it. So they, in their time, when they become married, etc., they will pass on the same valuable advice or the same thing of historic of importance. They'll pass it on to their children. And if you don't pass it on, then the things that they will pass on to their children is, you know, when we came, Abba took us to Bin Dawood, you know, and Ammi had to trade in her old abaya for a new abaya. This is what happened. So that is what they will come back with. So you don't see any notable difference in the life of the parents, no notable difference in the life of the children, no, absolutely nothing. I remember in the 60s, our family people, a lot of them went for Hajj. Right? Nearly all of them didn't have beards. But after the Hajj, all have beards. All beards, all five-time namaz, everything. Spot on, everything. It's just that one Hajj. So what was the difference between them and us today? Going for Umrah, going for Hajj after Hajj, Umrah after Umrah. But wahi ka wahi, he stuck at the same point. There's no remarkable, no notable difference in the life of the person. Anyway, we're getting to Umar Sahib's story. We just digress a little bit. So I heard this out. I said, see, you see, you've got so many opportunities. Your wife, what opportunities she's got? Yeah, Moa, you hit the nail on the head. She doesn't have any opportunity. I have an opportunity. But what I must do then? I must just let him carry on like kafirs here. He's still emotionally worked up. So Moa says, see, it took you so many years. Your mind opened up. Now you are understanding that what is required, what is haram, what is halal. You understand all these things. So give them a fair opportunity. You start off kitab reading in your house. Like I explained, 3 kitabs has to be done. And I give the reasons also why it has to be done. So that's all, yeah. Just start with that. So now, some of these people are such, ke koi baat sunte hai baro se, if they hear something from the elders, they take it very firmly. And they don't move away from it. You know? They hear something, then they will hold onto it very strongly. You know? Some last week or so, my mother is explaining to me that when she was in Randall's Road in the 40s, 50s, so some mehman had come in, you know, guest came in, and there was a sofa, so perhaps there were some patches, and they had to cover it up. So they had a sheet to cover it up, but it was patched. So as the mehman were leaving, so the sheet we have just moved, so they saw the patch. So as they were leaving, they were ridiculing. So she's small now, she related to her mother, my nani. Okay, you know this mehman, they came in, and as they were leaving, they saw the patchwork, and they ridiculed. So the nani explained to her, see, was it torn? It's not torn, there was patchwork. Gojuutu, was it dirty? No. Then what's the need to fear? If it wasn't torn, if it was torn or it was dirty, then there is a need to correct it. But if it was not torn, it was patched, it wasn't dirty, there's absolutely no need to be afraid. But Umar radiallahu anhu is making tawaf of the Baytullah, what about 14 patches? Different colors patches. But up till today, we respect him for that patched cloth. But imagine if Umar radiallahu anhu was the bank manager, we respect him. In the eyes of people, he would have had some respect for that moment. Hey, you know, he's a bank manager, a director of this bank. I ask you, will we speak about him with respect? No, never. But now, man is living a simple, honest, clean life. Now, 1400 years have passed, but we still talk about him with respect. So, my mother says to me, I learned this lesson from my mother, Alhamdulillah, I've got it till now. So I'm happy with my lot. I'm not worried about what he's got and what he doesn't have and what I've got. I'm not making any comparisons. Absolutely no comparison. What he's got and what he doesn't have. I'm absolutely content, happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Came, it came. We enjoy it. We didn't come one of those things. Why he's got this and why don't I have it? I've got a roof. I've got food. So Alhamdulillah, I don't need anything more. But now, this was the old. When they heard something, they took it and they took it very serious. Now we think that we are intelligent. So when any statement, any advice is given to us, we are now debating it. What about this? What about that? What about this hadith here? What about that hadith? So many things, arguments are coming and tossing our minds that we don't know what to take, what not to take. So Mora gave the story, you know, and he says, as he's ending it up, he says, alright, this person came after 6 months or 7 months, he came back for perhaps 40 days as the routine is, right? So he came back to my room. I said, bhai, ab kisa hai na? Talaq ho gaya. You divorced. So he smiled it out and he says, no. What happened? I went short of talim. Exactly after about 3 months, one day I'm coming back from work, I see that shaitan box, the television is broken out of the house. So I got a little bit worked up, you know, it was an expensive commodity. At that time now India, very expensive thing. You know, you could have sold it, you could have got at least 50,000 rupees. Now you're like a clever thing, you broke the thing now. 50,000 rupees down the drain. So she says, you know, in the talim, we also learned about ikram. Be good for others. You know, the story about one goat head and he went to seven homes. That was not only for the talim time. Not only when you are 3 days in Jamaat. It's supposed to be applied to your home every day. And mind you, today we may think that a goat head is something light. I know in Bakri time, up till now you get Hindus lining up. Uncle, auntie, please, go on goat head, please, man. It's about the most tastiest thing. But just that we don't know how to prepare it, or we're too lazy to get that thing prepared. You know, spire and all that. All the taste comes there. But because we're too lazy to prepare that thing, or we don't know how to prepare it, so we don't know the taste that it's got. But those that know what it's got, they'll understand and appreciate. So this goat head, that was the most precious thing, he's got it, he's passed it on to him, he's passed it, came back to the owner. So that ikram was supposed to be all the time. This warmth really is gone from the homes. We are, the aspiration we've got just to increase the digit. 1 million to 10, 100 million, and we think, no, I've got it. You know, explaining one friend of mine, Nabi Sam, towards the end of his Mubarak life, so he says, at the last Marazul Wafat, you know, so one day, he says to the Sahaba Ikram, Wal faqra akhaf walik, not afraid about poverty. What I'm afraid about is, an tabsuta lakum ad-dunya wa zaharatuha, that the dunya must open out. And thereafter you will vie with each other. I got so much, and he's got so much, and I got so much. This is what I'm afraid about. The dunya will destroy you. Because this is your goal now. When that's your goal, until you haven't acquired and reached your goal, you'll feel deficient, I haven't got it. So this is what I'm afraid about. Now, look at us compared ourselves to the statement. What Nabi Sam was least afraid about, we're afraid about. Right? And what he was afraid about, that we take it as a mark of respect. Our whole thought process has gone off. What he was afraid about, that we are not concerned. And what he was not afraid about, that became the primary concern. You know, I explained in the beginning that flavor is not there. We've got the Islam in looks, but that flavor is not there. So she says to the husband, you know what? But the kitab was teaching about ikram. I've got the wrong, I'm going to pass it on to my neighbor. Is that the right thing? You know, I ask you for maaf. I am wrong. She is old, they understand the mistake and they accept straight away. Now, all this now, where do we start off? Ramadan is about to come, right? So, I'll just relate one incident and one small advice. One person came to one sheikh, Naqshbandi sheikh, right? And he says, you know, I want to take bayat at your hands. So the sheikh says to him, go make istikhara. So he went, after about 3-4 hours, he came back. So as he came back, Sheikh said, you did your istikhara. I asked you to do istikhara. Yeah, I did the istikhara. But in 3 hours, you came. Normal, they come after 7 days, 5 days. Some people say istikhara went wrong, right? If they can't say chukku nani kevatu, so what they say? Istikhara went. Istikhara don't go wrong, but that's a wrong statement to make. Istikhara didn't went wrong. Say, we're not interested in you. But now we can't say we're not interested, so we say istikhara went wrong. Is that the right thing? Allah Pak's Nabi Sam's dua, can you say that thing went wrong? So it's a big mistake then. Don't say istikhara, no. Make some other excuse, no. Maybe the girl, she just wants some more time or something, whatever. But don't say istikhara is wrong. It's a common statement. You can't say, you know, choku na nikawa. You can't say the person no on his face. So if you look around, democracy. So he comes back to the sheikh in 3 hours. Sheikh says, what happened? He says, no. I went and thought about the whole thing. So I discussed it in my mind. See, the mind is a big obstruction. Because you want to do something, the mind will counter. You do this, what about this? You do this, what about this? You do not understand that mind is also an obstruction. We feel that just shaitan is an obstruction, that kafir is an obstruction, that obscenity is an obstruction. But your mind also is an obstruction. You want to do something. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. And you don't respond in time. That tawfiq, that grace of Allah is gone. You think that grace will just come, keep following you. So sometimes the mind also is a blockage. So I'm going to discuss this in seclusion. My mind told me, Mike, you're a free person. Now you're going to take bayat and all that. So you will imprison yourself. Now you're going to do something, you have to ask the sheikh. Do something, you did something wrong, you're going to correct again. Now, well, you got this azadi, Allah Ta'ala created you free. Why must you go and imprison yourself? So the mind is discussing with him. So he says to the mind, all right, I'm tying myself, lekin is mehnat ke baad, koshish ke baad, khuda mil jayega. At the end, I'll get Allah Ta'ala. So the mind is countering again. It doesn't stop. Remember that it doesn't stop. We think that we'll get it right ourselves. It doesn't happen. That's adatullah. It doesn't come right. Ask the child, hifz, can you do it yourself? Kitabs, can you do it yourself? So when this is relating to Allah Ta'ala, the greatest, your greatest endeavor in life, the greatest ambition in life is to have a smooth, correct, proper, good relationship with Allah Ta'ala, that you move from this to the next life, smooth, easy, happy. You are happy to see Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is happy to see you. That's the whole ambition. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهُ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءُ. You're hoping for that, you're wanting that. So what you are wanting for in this whole effort, that you, the transition goes very smooth, easy, enjoyable. Allah Pak is longing to meet you. You are, after all the business that you did, the ibadah that you did, whatever sacrifices, at the end, what do you want? You want this. The transition must go very well. Going to another terrain, I'm going to another land I'm going. But as I'm moving up there, it must go well. They must receive me nicely. I must go smoothly. I must be happy. Those people on that side must be happy with me. So he says, Khuda to mil jayega. Now the nafs is again answering again. It's, you know, it's countering. He says, what guarantee have you got that Khuda mil jayega? What guarantee have you got that you will get Allah Ta'ala? So now he stopped the nafs for good, for once and for good. So he says, Lekin Khuda ko malum ho jayega ki humne usko talab karne ki koshish ki. Allah Pak will understand that at least we try to get him. Arad al-akhira wa sa'alaha sa'iha. He tried, his intention was right. He made a corresponding, a proper effort. Not just an effort, mufula mutlak, a proper effort. Sa'alaha sa'iha. So there is a way to make an effort. Why you failed the metric? I was doing self-studies. But this is not the way you go under some tutor, tuition, etc., go to some class. You will get through. But you want to do it yourself, chances is you'll never get through. For the dunya, we understand the principle. So, the sheikh says, you know, congratulations to you. But it's the first time I see someone saw this picture so well that Allah Pak will at least see you favorably, that you at least tried, you endeavored, you tried to come that way. Allah Pak also is saying you tried, and you tried with the correct procedure. كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا your effort is definitely appreciated, acceptable. So this is one advice, and the last advice for Ramadan, you know. One friend of mine came to me, in fact, numerous friends, students and all that. Now we can't get our tahajjud. Coming for namaz, coming a little bit late. So, right, there's a long discussion now, it's sort of this encapsulated, small, short form. So just look after two things, your tongue properly, no compromise, tongue and eyes. Just look after these two things. Some students and some people are such, you just have to give it to them. They don't need an explanation. They have that level of confidence and trust, you just mention it to them and they'll do it. Many people came after that and say, Alhamdulillah, from that day till now, tahajjud has not been missed. Namaz, we got it with a takbir ula. Maybe we didn't come so early to the masjid, but we got it with a takbir ula. So there is some blockage, some obstruction that is preventing us from progressing. At least there must be a starting point this month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala accept one and all. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. Wa Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.